WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. On the first day of deliberations in the hush money trial, jurors came back with several requests, asking the judge to read back testimony and reread instructions. The jury returns tomorrow. ABC's Aaron Katursky is in Lower Manhattan.
The lawyers were still deciding how to respond to the first note from the jury, asking for readbacks of different pieces of testimony from National Enquirer publisher David Pecker and Trump's former fixer Michael Cohen. When the bell rang again in court, signaling another note from the jury, and this time the judge said as he read it, the jury wanted to hear his instructions on the law again.
Police in Cincinnati are investigating a shooting near a Kroger store involving an officer. Authorities say at least one person was shot, but the officer was not injured. Residents in Texas could be dealing with power outages for days to come after severe storms knocked out electricity this week, and severe storms are moving through the Rockies and Upper Plains today. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is launching a new $100 million investment fund to help startups and entrepreneurs. The Wisconsin Investment Fund will invest in technology, healthcare, agriculture, manufacturing, and other kinds of businesses.
Starting a company is a very difficult job. It's risky and it's full of tons of work. And when it's a scientific company, it's even harder.
Jessica Martin Eckerly is CEO of Forward Biolabs. Half of the new startup money comes from the government, the other half from private investors. A 100-year-old World War II veteran who survived the D-Day invasion was celebrated during a parade in Wisconsin this week. Jack Kraszewski was part of Pulaski's Memorial Day commemorations Monday. He's going back to Normandy next week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
With news from the center, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A hit and run led to a pursuit Sunday night in Richland County. At approximately 11:45, deputies were dispatched to a call for service in the village of Lone Rock for a report of a hit and run. While en route, dispatch informed deputies of the suspect vehicle description and license plate number. Deputies observed the suspect vehicle traveling westbound on U.S. Highway 14 near Moore Drive. The vehicle swerved and drove head-on toward a law enforcement vehicle. Then a pursuit ensued, continuing westbound on U.S. Highway 14 toward the city of Richland Center. During the pursuit, the suspect drove recklessly, swerving toward other vehicles on the highway while traveling at speeds up to 100 miles per hour. The pursuit continued into the city, where the Richland Center Police Department deployed tire deflation devices and successfully disabled the vehicle. The suspect, Charlie B. Hillman, 48, of Richland Center, was taken into custody without incident. And that's what you need to know.
Brewers and Cubs go extra innings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Another crazy Brewers and Cubs game at American Family Field. Cubs pitcher Ben Brown pitched a no-hitter through seven innings. Manager Craig Counsell.
I mean, I thought it was the fastball. It was like an angry fastball. I mean, it was just really good, and it was overpowering for much of the game. So, you know, he threw a ton of strikes. Fastball was excellent.
Top of the 10th, Brewers closing pitcher Trevor McGill had to leave the game after getting hit in his throwing arm on a comeback hit going 99 miles an hour. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
It's not fraction.
The extent of what you know at this point?
Yeah, I mean, he got drilled pretty hard. He's going to be good and sore for a while.
The Brewers ended up losing 6-3. Milwaukee's Freddy Peralta pitched well, but still has not earned a win this month.
It's hard because I don't, when I performance like well, you know, I want to win, but I want the team to win.
That's Brewers pitcher Freddy Peralta. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the mid-40s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny. A high in the low 70s. Then increasing clouds for Friday. Chance of showers and storms. Highs to the mid-70s. And rain chances continue for the weekend with highs in the 70s. Currently at 72 degrees.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Melissa was my neighbor in L.A. Her husband, Jim, would break open these $100 bottles of wine they just have sitting around.
A friend of mine and I went to his friend's house. Her dad put like a $500 bottle of scotch down on the table and was like, hey, I got this for you guys. Like, go ahead. We're 18. We can't appreciate this. I've never had an alcoholic beverage in my life until my 21st birthday.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'm going to be talking about the gutless, the flip-floppers extraordinaire, little Nikki Haley, Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, and Bill Barr. They go so very low.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
News from the Center, WRCE.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning, you're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics. Please allow me to introduce myself. And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling into a Wednesday happy hour. And I'm happy, Dom, because we're going to play my president, not CJ's guy. It's time for Joe Biden. It's Biden time. Riding with Biden.
We've talked about the former guy quite a bit today.
My understanding, Joe Biden in Philadelphia today, rallying with Kamala Harris, the vice president. Rich, you've got the sound. We got four Biden, I believe. Let's play him. Let's start with cut one, Joe Biden.
Trump continues to lie by saying black unemployment was at a record low on his watch. The fact is, record low unemployment happened on my watch, and we're going to keep him going.
Let's hear more from Joe Biden, dispelling the misconceptions of the MAGA masses.
We're trying to erase black history. We're going to write black history because it's American history. It's American history.
Let's keep going. Joe Biden in the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, cut three.
If you vote in 2024, we're going to make Donald Trump a loser again.
Who is her?
And one more from President Joe Biden, if you would, Rich.
I've tried to do my best to honor that trust, staying true to the values set that we share. It got me involved as a kid in the first place. Everyone's entitled to be treated with dignity and respect. Faith and family are everything. And we leave no one behind.
Yeah, happy Memorial Day, you human scum. Oh, wait, sorry, that was the other guy from yesterday. I get so confused with the skills of these two men.
Dom, here is an interesting set of headlines. I Googled Joe Biden today. I was just looking for context for the sound we were about to play, and I saw from the Inquirer, Joe Biden in Philadelphia. That was helpful. And then I see a headline at Politico from yesterday, Dems in full-blown freakout over Biden. That's Politico. Normally, you know, maybe slightly right, but, you know, a pretty straight political magazine. Fox News, Biden campaign seek to halt slide with black voters with new initiative. He's going big on black talk radio, my understanding, Dom. And here's another one, USA Today. Now consider your sources here. That's why I'm listing them off. De Niro's Trump speech speaks volumes about a desperate Biden. A lot of headlines, seemingly. You know, Joe Biden today. Joe Biden's desperate. That's all we see in the headlines. No wonder why CJ always thinks it's Biden's fault. Where's the good coverage? Where's the good press? Except for here on the greatest radio show ever. But we're not touching every home, Dom. Maybe someday soon.
So, yeah, someday soon. Everyone should tune into the Devil's Advocates. You know, the perception is reality issue is real. And I think there's folks that understand that, you know, when someone says this, I think what was it, Paulie saying, hey, if someone says, you know, America's going to crap, you know, based on what metric? If someone says the economy is terrible, based on what metric? Let's talk, you know, I mean, it's one thing to just say in general, this sucks or that's great, but okay, sucks compared to what? Great as compared to when? You know what I'm saying? So it's easy to talk in those terms because if we don't agree on what the underlying metric is, we're just going to talk around each other all the time. Oh, it's great. Oh, it sucks. Well, okay, what are we talking about? Words have definitions. They have meaning. We need to agree on the meanings and then determine whether or not are we in a better space based on that metric now than we were 4 years ago, 8 years ago. What do you expect to see in the future? I mean, these are normal, everyday conversations that normal people have when we're talking about a topic such as the economy and how you're feeling. Now, granted, you know, microeconomics, your personal issues may not, you know, reflect necessarily the national, but we got to agree on the terms before we can argue about the facts.
Open borders, Joe Biden's fault. Philadelphia, Dateline, CBS reporting. On his latest stop in the Keystone State, that's Pennsylvania, Dom, Mr. Biden, that's Joe Biden, was joined by Vice President Kamala Harris. The president and vice president appeared at Girard College in Fairmont to launch their Black Voters for Biden-Harris initiative. Now, Biden said, and I don't know if we played all of this, I promise to put racial equality in the center of everything I do because I vowed I would have an administration that looked like America. Because you voted, we are invested more than ever in Black families and communities. Now, Biden's message was simple. Life is better for Black Americans under his administration. Black voters helped secure the White House for Biden in 2020 when he captured 87% of the Black vote compared to 12%. For Trump, the other guy, a record number of Black voters, Trump would claim. But recent polling shows Black voters may not feel the same way. A March CBS News poll showed Trump nearly doubling his support amongst Black voters to 23%. And I would say, no freaking way. Show me a sample size that would be predictive, and maybe I would believe that. But I would say the margin of error on that is about 22%. Now, it goes on to say, experts say the erosion of support in November would be costly for Biden. Yes, it would be. As long as Donald Trump is able to hold on to that 20% or even close it to 18, 17, he's not there. But anyways, I read on. That's going to be a significant hurdle for Biden to overcome. Joe Watkins, former White House aide to President George H.W. Bush, said, Watkins believes messaging has been a problem for Biden, with too much of the focus on Trump's character. Black voters want to know, I'm sure this guy's Black. I'm sure he is. This former H.W. Bush staffer.
Yeah.
Black voters want to know, what are you going to do for me? Besides tell me the other guy is a bad guy, what are you going to do for me from the standpoint of the economy? You know, what is Trump going to do for you? I never hear Republicans saying what they're going to do for Black voters.
The Bush guy that made that quote, who was that?
This person, Joe Watkins, former White House aide to President H.W. Bush. So he's an old white guy.
Yeah, no, he's Black. Joe Watkins, American pastor of the Christ Evangelical Lutheran Church in Philadelphia, a Philadelphia-based Republican media analyst who often appears on MSNBC, according to the interwebs.
Well, I stand corrected. Officials with the Trump campaign say they believe the former president stands out to Black voters because he isn't a traditional Republican and believes he made an effort to meet voters where they live. Well, he would claim prison, Dom, but I read on. Trump spokesperson Shania Thomas said, our strategy and message is very simple. President Trump has been showing up in communities that are predominantly minority communities. Is that because he went to the bodega in New York? Is that why they're making the claim? I've been to the Trump rallies. That's not a diverse crowd.
No, man. Generally, that is not the case. Even the one he had, in the Bronx was busting white people.
Biden campaign officials say they aren't worried about the poll numbers. They say this new initiative will help them get the word out about the work Biden has done for Black Americans. Campaign spokesperson Jameen Harris, Biden Harris spokesperson, millions of new jobs created for Black workers, record low Black unemployment, Black-owned small businesses starting up at a faster pace in generations. Now, Mr. Biden also visited Black-owned small businesses in the city, where he met with local business owners to continue discussions about this administration's commitment to increasing Black wealth. Will it work, Dom?
It's coin flip, man. You always got to go out during the political season. Got to earn every vote. So if, you know, there's perception issues out there, certainly, and every candidate has to overcome them, and Biden's got his. Be it the economy or be it with Black voters or whatever the case may be. There's always a fight to be had. There's always a sale to be done. And Joe Biden's got to be out there with the vice president constantly pushing that and making the point. If we don't agree, again, back to my earlier point, if we don't agree on what the metric is, how can you make the determination? I mean, GDP is a thing, right? Inflation's a thing. You know what I'm saying? Gas prices are a thing. We can look at the statistics. We can look at the trends. You know, we can have.
Did you notice gas prices drop like 30% immediately after the Memorial Day weekend?
Oh, weird how
30 cents, pardon me. Not 30%, but 30 cents from where I have seen it recently on University Ave in Madison. It went from about $3.50 a gallon to $3.20 over the weekend.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, people were driving and they jacked the prices to adjust for the demand because supply and demand. I mean, don't worry your pretty little self about it, Crudy. It's economics, not price fixing, not greedflation. I did see some of the like Target or perhaps some of the other big boxes are going to, you know, be lowering their prices. Apparently the pressure is getting to them. Maybe now they made enough money. You know, when you see the stock market pushing, it's over 38, pushed 40, it's down about 1% today. Why could that possibly be? Well, they're making money hand over fist. Well, why is that? Well, because you're paying through the nose for lots of things. Is that because of the supply chain? Well, maybe it used to be. Now it's just a reason to make more money.
Do you want to tip the worker on that Big Mac?
Add a tip on everything.
Big Mac now, you know, if you get the Big Mac meal, it's over $10. That's not cheap really? Fast food anymore.
Oh, hell no, that's not cheap. No, I mean, it's gone up. It's crazy. I used to think, like, if I go out for lunch, and granted, I'm 52 going on 53 years old.
Yeah.
But I think if I was going to go out, if I spend about $10 for lunch, no sandwich and whatever, something chill, not, you know, no alcohol, you know, that's what really drives those bills up. That's why Crudy carries a flask. But if you go out and get a regular sandwich back in the day, I'd be like, okay, if I spend $10 with tip, that's a, you know, reasonable. Now, man, hell, 15, 18, $20, depends where you're going, just for a lunch or maybe some eggs and a cup of coffee. Yeah, it's up there, man. It costs money.
And that's before you tip the girls at the strip club.
Come on.
Not since the Marty days, right?
Hey, you got to go meet where the business is at, man. What can I do?
844-967-2789. You can join us on the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I want to turn my attention to Alito and his latest excuse. The wife ate my homework. It's her fault. He's doubling down. You know, the Jersey Shore house, that's deeded in her name.
Nothing I can do.
More Devil's Advocates.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extremely extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
DevilRadioSwag.com. You've asked for it for over a decade. We've finally gotten off our dead and responded. DevilRadioSwag.com. T-shirt and Dom's favorite slimming black, white, or gray. DevilRadioSwag.com. Crew necks, hoodies, coffee mugs, exclusive merchandise of the greatest radio show ever, only at TheDevilRadioSwag.com, because we got bills too. Do you like Delta 8? It'd be cooler if you did. We proudly announced the Devil's Advocates have partnered with Herbal Aspect to bring your newest Delta 8 favorites, Devil's Gummies, exclusively at HerbalAspect.com. Legal for consumption by adults, they may be mailed directly to your home. Always use Devil Radio at checkout to let Herbal Aspect know where you heard them. Order today for delivery. Devil's Gummies and Devil Radio exclusive specials only from HerbalAspect.com. Code Devil Radio.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising, the Devil's Advocates.
And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines 844-967-2789.
Dom, normally I don't read correspondence on the air, but I've got a letter here from Justice Samuel Alito, and it's addressed to the Honorable Richard Durbin, Sheldon Whitehorse, and the United States Senate, care of D.C. 20510. Dateline May 29th, 2024. This is when Alito tells the Democratic senators he will not recuse. Dear Senators Durbin and Whitehouse, this is a response to your letter of May 23rd to the Chief Justice requesting that he take steps to ensure that I recuse in Trump v. United States number 23-939 and any other cases related to the 2020 presidential election or the January 6th attack on the Capitol. As the court has pointed out, individual justices, rather than the court, decide recusal issues. I am therefore responding directly to your letter. In it, you claim there are two incidents involving the flying of flags creating an appearance of impropriety that requires my recusal. B, disqualification. One, you know, he's got some subnotes here. Justice is presumed impartial and has an obligation to sit unless disqualified. Point number two, the justice should disqualify himself or herself in a proceeding in which the justice's impartiality might reasonably be questioned. That is, whether an unbiased and reasonable person who is aware of all the relevant circumstances would doubt that the justice could fairly discharge his or her duties. And then he shows the code of conducts for the Supreme Court. There's really not one, right? Barely? The two indicate, incidents you cite do not meet the conditions for recusal set out in B2, and I therefore have an obligation to sit under B-1. The first incident cited in your letter, and then he goes on, Dom, it's quite interesting. He goes on to blame this all upon the Mrs. Mrs. Alito. It's all her fault, effectively, Dom. The first incident cited in your letter concerns the flying of an upside-down American flag outside the house in Virginia where my wife and I reside. In considering whether the event requires recusal, an unbiased and reasonable person would take into account the following facts. As I have stated publicly, I had nothing whatsoever to do with the flag of that flag. I was not even aware of the upside-down flag until it was called to my attention. And as soon as I saw it, I asked my wife to take it down. But for several days, she refused.
Ooh.
My wife and I own the Virginia home jointly. She therefore has the legal right to use the property as she sees fit. And there were no additional steps that I could have taken to have the flag taken down more promptly.
There's nothing I could have done. Now, the question I have for Mr. Alito is, what flag would you have taken down? Because if I'm understanding his explanation right now, if his wife were to fly, I don't know, say a Confederate flag or the Nazi flag or the F Joe Biden flag or the F Your Feelings flag, he would have no recourse. He could do absolutely nothing. It's entirely her decision.
Well,
that's fine.
Jump down in the body of the correspondence just a little farther. This from Alito to Democratic senators. My wife is a private citizen, and she possesses the same First Amendment rights as every other American. So if she wants to fly a Nazi flag, Dom, let her fly that flag, is what Alito says.
Let your freak flag fly, Alitos.
Again, he blames the entirety of both incidents on her. She makes her own decisions, and I have always respected her right to do so. That's going to play back in just a minute, Dom, and let's just say that statement's not going to age very well. She makes her own decisions, and I have always respected her right to do so. Don't read the Dobbs decision. She has made many sacrifices to accommodate my service on the Supreme Court, including the insult of having to endure numerous, loud, obscene, and personally insulting protests. And that's just Dom in front of my home that continue to this day and now threaten to escalate. I am confident that a reasonable person who is not motivated by political or ideological consideration or a desire to affect the outcome of the Supreme Court cases would conclude the events recounted do not meet the acceptable standard for recusal. I therefore am required to reject your request. Now, here's the interesting part. The second incident. I want to bring this to the record. The second incident concerns a flag bearing the legend, "An Appeal to Heaven," that flew in the backyard of our vacation home in the summer of 23. I recall that my wife did fly that flag. Again, it's the wife's fault for some period of time, but I do not remember how long it flew. And what is most relevant here, I had no involvement in the decision to fly that flag. My wife is fond of flying flags. Oh, she likes to fly her freak flag down.
Yes, she does.
Here's what Alito says. I am not. He doesn't
he's
like flags.
Flags.
He's not a flag
no,
guy. Here is where he completely and utterly blames the second flag on her. My wife has was solely responsible for having flagpoles put up at our residences and our vacation home, and has flown a wide variety of flags over the years. I'm sure she has. In addition to the American flag, she has flown other patriotic flags, including our favorite flag, thanking veterans, college flags, flags supporting sports teams, state and local teams, flags of nations, Nazi flags. No, it doesn't say that here.
Oh, okay, good.
I was not familiar with the Appeal to Heaven flag when my wife flew it. She may have mentioned it dates back to the American Revolution, and I assume she was flying it to express a religious and patriotic message. I was not aware of any connection between the historic flag and the Stop the Steal movement, and neither was my wife, he claims. She did not fly it to associate herself with that or any other group. And the other party points out, Dom, his wife solely owns the beach house, the Jersey Shore beach house.
Yeah.
That's entirely her house. She inherited it, apparently, so.
Okay.
Wasn't me. I didn't even have the flagpoles put up. That was also her.
I didn't know what that thing meant. I just assumed it was patriotism and religiosity, and it's entirely up to her. So whatever she wants to fly, I can't do anything about it.
Well, if you were a reasonable person, not motivated by political or ideological consideration. He says that quite frequently in his correspondence. And then he signs off, "Sincerely yours, Samuel Alito." I assume that's what it must say. It's kind of squiggly lines. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. We'll read between the lines and take your phone calls. 844-967-2789. Alito blames the entirety of all the problems on his wife. "I'm not recusing. Suck it." That's his response to the Dems in the Senate.
News from the Center, WRCE. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Madison judge could restore union rights to Wisconsin public sector workers taken away under Act 10. In oral arguments yesterday, attorney Stephen Carl Kilpatrick said lawyers were within their rights to treat police and firefighters differently.
The legislature decided that this passage of Act 10 could create labor disruption. And what it decided was that there were certain job categories that it could not live without.
There's no timeline for the judge's ruling. Wisconsin collected more medications during Drug Takeback Day than first thought. The U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration says Wisconsin ranked first in the country, not second. Wisconsin collected more than 55,000 pounds of unwanted medicine on April 27th. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
With news from the center, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Families with children 18 and younger in the Richland School District are eligible to receive summer meals. Children do not need to be Richland School District students, but must be district residents or open enrolled into the district. Meal pickups will be once per week on Thursdays from 11 to 4, except Wednesday, July 3rd, due to the holiday. To receive meals by the first distribution date, you must pre-register by this Friday. Register for free breakfast and lunch for your children via the form posted on the district's website. This weekend will be the beginning of dairy breakfast season in Wisconsin. The events are sponsored by Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. The Iowa County Dairy Breakfast will be hosted by the Putz family at Level Acres Dairy Farm on West Clyde Street in Avoca. Crawford County's Dairy Breakfast will be in Gays Mills at the Crawford County Fairgrounds Saturday, and Monroe County's 43rd Annual Dairy Breakfast will be at the Witt Farm in Wilton on Saturday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulotz.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Variety has posted the predictions for Emmy Award nominations for Best Supporting Actor in the Comedy category. Eight of the top 10 nominees come from just three shows, FX's The Bear, Max's Hacks, and ABC's Abbott Elementary. Representing The Bear are Eben Moss Bachrach, Oliver Platt, Maddie Matheson, and Lionel Boyce. Paul Downs and Carl Clemens Hopkins are from Hacks, and Tyler James Williams and Chris Brighetti from Abbott Elementary. Richard Lewis is predicted to receive a posthumous nomination for Curb Your Enthusiasm. The title for the latest installment in the Knives Out franchise has been revealed. The Hollywood Reporter sprung the news that Wake Up Dead Man, a Knives Out mystery, will debut on Netflix sometime next year. Director Rian Johnson revealed the title on his ex-Twitter page, as well as the fact that Daniel Craig will be back as the lead in the latest installment of the whodunit franchise. If they keep making Knives Out films, it's going to seem unbelievable that anyone would be seen at a dinner party with Daniel Craig. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low in the mid-40s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny. A high in the low 70s. Then increasing clouds for Friday, chance of showers and storms. Highs to the mid-70s. And rain chances continue for the weekend with highs in the 70s. Currently it's 72 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Of course, it's what you desire. Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we learn about Riverside Rhythms coming to downtown Waukesha in hour number two. A new GOP coloring book should be fascinating conversation. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocate.
Welcome back to the Devils. Advocates Radio Show rolling through a happier Wednesday. Happy hour?
Happy hour. Yeah, man.
Up all night, sleep all day. Not sleeping yet. Not on you, fine folks. We'll take some phone calls in just a bit. 844-967-2789. This letter from Justice Alito, why he's not recusing because, you know, his wife has the right to make her own decisions. And this is an interesting juxtaposition with, let's say, the Dobbs decision. I found a piece I want to reference here. Monica Hesse over at the Washington Post. It's a woman's right to fly your own flag. Hear, hear, Justice Alito. Notice a few of the contrast. And we gave the benefit, most of the letter. On Wednesday, Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito Jr. sent a letter to Dick Durbin and Sheldon Whitehouse. They're both them senators, explaining the provenance of two questionable flags that have flown over Alito's residences. Both flags, an upside-down American flag and one known as an appeal to heaven, have been used by Donald Trump-supporting election deniers. But in the letter, Alito explained that the flags had nothing to do with them.
Nothing.
They were flown by his wife. His wife's flags, he repeatedly insisted, were his wife's business and his wife's business alone. It's a great letter. She says, let's take a closer look. Yeah. And she quotes, and we've read some of this to you. My wife and I own a Virginia home jointly, wrote the conservative. She therefore has the legal right to use the property as she sees fit. And there is no additional steps that I could have taken to have the flag taken down more promptly. The author writes, as for the other flag flown at the New Jersey beach house, that home was purchased with his wife's own money, and it is titled in her name. Again, it's all her fault, Tom.
Yeah, but I'm not sure they're shared assets once you're married, unless you got a prenup. And actually, couldn't you just have gone out and taken the flag down yourself? That may have caused some consternation between you and your wife, but would that have been the proper thing to do?
Well, Dom, I'm going to stick with the author's words here. Yes, excellent. I'm with you so far, Justice Alito. I applaud your recognition of a woman's right to oversee her own flags on her own property without the influence or governance of a man. Again, she quotes Alito. My wife's reasons for flying the flag are not relevant for present purposes. He wrote, and the author writes, I'm glad you made this point, Samuel Alito. Sometimes women have deeply personal reasons for needing to fly a flag, and those reasons are not our nor the government's business. And then Alito also wrote, my wife is a private citizen. And the author writes, absolutely, she's a private citizen here and now. I stand with Justice Samuel Alito in being horrified that lawmakers would presume to involve themselves in decisions that should be made between a woman and her flag maker. He also writes, Alito did, my wife is fond of flying flags. I am not. The author writes, this is where Justice Alito is really outdoing himself. He's showing a truly evolved understanding of flag displaying issues. He acknowledges that he personally would not fly a flag, and that's fine. Not flying a flag is entirely his business. But Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito recognizes that his personal preferences regarding flags should have no bearing over whether millions of women around the country choose to fly flags. I'm really enjoying the sarcasm here, Dom.
I think I know where she's going, Mike.
My wife is independently minded private citizen. She makes her own decisions, and I honor her right to do so, wrote Alito. Not in the Dobbs decision, obviously, Dom.
No.
The author here says, I will grant you, Alito is getting a little repetitive. He has already made these points elsewhere in his letter, but I would argue that his repetition simply serves moral and rhetorical purposes. In this sentence, Alito is affirming that Mrs. Alito is legally permitted to fly flags not only because she is an owner of a property on which the flags were flown, but also because she is an independent being who is capable of making her own decisions. And even when Alito thinks his wife is making bad decisions, he's showing that he still recognizes that those decisions are hers to make. even when he feels as if those decisions personally affect him because his religion is opposed to flags, perhaps, or because his friends all hate flags, and his social and political lives will be made uncomfortable if people find out he's flying them. He still understands that it is ultimately not his call whether to fly a flag. If he were so opposed to flag flying, maybe he should not. Maybe he should have been more careful about providing the poll, Dom. I'll bring it to conclusion here. It's almost done. Alito concludes that asking his wife to be left alone to enjoy your vacation home and her flag, it is a place away from Washington where she should be able to relax. Bravo, Justice Alito. I'm buoyed by your heartened by your thoughtful, spirited defense of your wife. You and I have not always seen eye to eye, but I'm glad that we have at last found some common ground on issues related to women's privacy, autonomy, independence, and decision-making capabilities vis-a-vis government interference. She concludes as thus, I look forward to reading many more of your thoughts regarding women's rights to obtain flags. And by flags, I mean abortions.
Well done.
I did think that was well done. Monica Hess at the Washington Post, H-E-S-S-E.
Well done, Monica. Crudy, this is how you know it's bunk. Donald Trump truthy socialed out. Quote, congratulations to United States Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito for showing the, all caps, intelligence, courage, and guts to refuse stepping aside from making a decision on anything January 6th related. All U.S. judges, justices, and leaders should have such grit. Our country would be far more
if you're on my team, right?
Than
loyal to me
status as a badly failing nation headed by the worst president in American history, Crooked Joe Biden. Now, as CNN journalist, senior reporter Edward Isaac Dover points out, Trump thanks Alito for not recusing himself from cases pending about Trump after Alito being criticized for flying a flag at his house that has been interpreted as a sign of support for Trump. Makes a lot of sense.
No, my wife is the MAGA.
Yes, It's not him. But there's more, Curdy. There's a backstory here. The New York Times reported last night and updated the story today. The Alitos, the neighborhood clash, and the upside down flag. Curdy, there's neighbors. They don't get along with their neighbors.
Well, the public story was Alito blamed it on the neighbors because they had, you know, a sign that said F Trump out there where the kids gathered for the school buses, but they didn't point out the fact that actually the kids weren't going to school at that time because of the pandemic. And I also understand the timelines are in question, Dom.
They certainly are. A little bit here from the reporting. The police in Fairfax County, Virginia, received an unusual phone call on February 5th of 2021. A young couple claimed they were being harassed by the wife of a Supreme Court justice. Harassment, I tell you.
Oh, they called the cops on her. That's interesting. In February, that's well after January 6th, Dom.
There's more. Somebody in a position of authority needs to talk to her and make her stop, said the 36-year-old man making the complaint, according to a recording of the call reviewed by the New York Times. The officer on the line responded that there was little the police could do. Yelling was not a crime. They got Karen Alito over here yelling at the kids. Why would they do such a thing? The New York Times goes on. The couple placed the call after a series, I tell you, of encounters with Martha Ann Alito, wife of Justice Samuel Alito Jr., that had gone from uneasy to ugly. That day, Emily Baden, whose boyfriend, now husband, contacted the police, had traded accusations with Alito, Mrs. Alito, who lived down the street. In a recent interview, Ms. Baden admitted to calling her a lewd epithet. The clash between the wife of a conservative Supreme Court justice and the couple, who were in their 30s, liberal and proud of it, played out over months in Alexandria. It was a kind of shouting match among private citizens at the height of tensions over the 2020 election that might have happened in any mixed political community in America. But 3 years later, that neighborhood spat, which both sides said began over an anti-Trump sign, has taken on far greater proportions. Indeed, it seems it has. Of course, we know about the upside-down flag, which is adopted as a symbol of the Stop the Steal. The conflict in the Virginia neighborhood doesn't explain why the second flag was flown, that the National Christian Nationalist Movement, the what do they call it, Appeal to Heaven flag. So when these instances came to light, the leaders come under sharp scrutiny. And we would justify that, I think. To better understand the clash, the Times interviewed Ms. Baden, her mother and husband, as well as other neighbors, and reviewed the texts of the neighbor and her husband sent to friends after the episodes. Justice Alito, who did not respond to questions for this article, again, New York Times updated today, has in recent weeks given his own explanation of what happened. Well, we heard some of that today, but Crudy, apparently, there are some differences. For instance, the justice told Fox News that his wife hoisted the flag in response to Baden's vulgar insult. A text message and the police call corroborated by Fairfax County authorities indicate, however, that the name-calling took place on February 15th, weeks after the inverted flag was taken down. Huh. Okay, so that's something that happened. See, that's how these lie. That's how you tell a good lie. Make sure it's wrapped in a little bit of truth. So, yeah, that confrontation took place, apparently, though, not on the time frame in which Justice Alito, he would lie, right? He's a U.S. Supreme Court justice, right? Above reproach. I mean, anybody without a political agenda can obviously see that this is not a reason to recuse. There's a little bit more. Justice Alito's version of events was that the flag was briefly placed by Mrs. Alito in response to a neighbor's use of objectionable and personally insulting language on yard signs. He said in a statement to the Times, Mrs. Alito, 70, who has never sought a public role, has not spoken about the controversy. The justice later elaborated in an interview with Fox News, saying that the January 2021, a neighbor on the block displayed a vulgar anti-Trump sign near where children wait for school. But Mrs. Alito complained to the neighbor. Things escalated. The neighbor put the sign personally addressing Mrs. Alito and blaming her for the January 6th attacks, tweeted the Fox News reporter who interviewed the justice. Ooh, things are getting hot in this neighborhood. While the Alitos were on a neighborhood walk, there were words between Mrs. Alito and a male at the home with the sign, the network reported. The justice said the man used vulgar language, including the C word. After that exchange, Mrs. Alito was distraught and hung the flag upside down, the Fox reporter relayed. But in the Baden family's version, the justice's wife initiated the conflict. Quote, aside from putting up a sign, we did not begin or instigate any of the confrontations, Baden said in the letter. During the gloomy COVID summer of 2020, Baden, then a 35-year-old actor and restaurant server in New York, moved back to her mother's home in Alexandria, Virginia, eventually staying for a year. Her then boyfriend, who also grew up in the area, returned as well. They adopted a pandemic puppy, took walks around the neighborhood. There was little else to do at the time, obviously, right? And provided company for Emily's retired mother. The couple participated in the Black Lives Matter protests. Uh-oh. Propped up the Biden-Harris signs on Saturday, November, when the election was called. Whooped and danced in the streets by the nation's capital. When they got home, they displayed a political sign they had made from torn-up Amazon boxes saying, Bye, Don, on one side, and call it F. Trump on the other. Apparently, Mrs. Alito took some issue with that. So why would she have a problem with that? I mean, you know, if she can put up her flag and her neighbors put up their sign, it's their right to do.
Who put up the flag first? And the neighbor, the Baden's telling, did Alito's wife put up the flag first?
That is my understanding. The timeline, based on what the justice has said, did not match up. The flag was up already.
Well, who can stop their wife from hanging a American flag upside down in front of their jointly owned house that she has legal tenancy in?
Women these days, you know what I'm saying? I mean, give them the right to vote, and the next thing, you lose all control. Hey, Justice Alito, remember the good old days? Come on, man.
844-967-2789. And I understand some broccoli fresh off the presses.
Oh, really?
Trump is responding.
I want cheese.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
DevilRadioSwag.com. You've asked for it for over a decade. We've finally gotten off our dead asses and responded. DevilRadioSwag.com. T-shirt and Dom's favorite slimming black, white, or gray. DevilRadioSwag.com. Crew necks, hoodies, coffee mugs, exclusive merchandise of the greatest radio show ever. Only at the DevilRadioSwag.com. Because we got bills too. Do you like Delta 8? It'd be cooler if you did. We proudly announced the Devil's Advocates have partnered with Herbal Aspect to bring your newest Delta 8 favorites, Devil's Gummies, exclusively at HerbalAspect.com. Legal for consumption by adults, they may be mailed directly to your home. Always use Devil Radio at checkout to let Herbal Aspect know where you heard them. Order today for delivery. Devil's Gummies and Devil Radio exclusive specials only from HerbalAspect.com. Code Devil Radio.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising, the Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Last segment of the day, if you got something to say, hit us up on the lines right now, 844-967-2789. Crudy, I want to be clear on our timing of our discussion here regarding Alito and the argument with the neighbors and the flag. Here, again, is what the New York Times reported. The justice told Fox News that his wife hoisted the flag in response to the neighbor's vulgar insult. A text message and the police call indicate, however, that the name-calling took place on February 15th, as the New York Times reports, weeks after the inverted flag was taken down. It was already up and already down. Weeks went by, and then the argument ensued. Apparently, the justice had his timing just a little bit off, at least on that particular part of his explanation. But don't worry. He knows what he's doing. He's not biased in any way, shape, or form. You can trust him.
You know, it's kind of funny. One of the texters on the WMDX line says, Alito says he allows his wife to make her own decisions. That's not very Republican of him.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Andrew from Verona. Wow, Alito gives his wife more authority over that flagpole than her own reproductive organs.
Right, dude. That's the point. Oh, my God.
Now, we've got some sound from the former president, and I caught a headline. We're going to play the sound. I've not heard it yet. We've been doing a little show with you fine folks, but it is being described as absent of bravado. And the subheadline, analysts say latest Trump rant shows he expects conviction.
Yeah, he does.
That's why Don's feeling so good. Donald Trump bemoaned his legal predicament outside a Manhattan courtroom after jurors left to deliberate his fate, and a former prosecutor was struck by his downcast demeanor. The former president complained the trial was rigged. He always says that. We heard the Mother Teresa. But what else do we have? Rich, play the broccoli. A little cheese for Dom. Donald Trump this afternoon.
They don't know what the crime is. That's what the problem is. It's a disgrace. This thing ought to be ended immediately. The judge ought to end it and save his reputation.
What about your bad reputation? It's beyond reclamation. Keep going, Rich. Let's hear the other Trump sound this afternoon.
A lot of key witnesses were not called. Look at your list. Look at the players. And you know who I'm talking about. You can take five or six of them. Why didn't they call those witnesses? They didn't call them because they would have been on our side.
Well, why didn't you call them then, Trump? I mean, you know what I mean? If that's the case, you have every right to call whoever you want. You threw some guy up at the end that totally blew the whole point. You were Cohen. It was a battle with Cohen. Then he threw in what's his name, Costello, or I forget his name.
Bob Costello, Robert Costello, attorney. Rudy's former lawyer.
I read between the lines. He's talking about, in my mind, former CFO. What's his face?
Weisselberg. Guy sitting at Rikers for perjuring himself in the last Trump trial.
Saying, maybe we don't have any more sound. Rich, is that all the sound? We got one more. Let's hear the other one, if you would, please.
There are a lot of witnesses, a lot of people that they could have called that they didn't call. Now, they didn't call them, obviously, because they would have been very bad witnesses for them.
Well, that's why they didn't call them, sir. Thanks for making the logic against your own argument.
You know who they are. I can't talk about it from the gag order, but they treated this witness very, very badly, very badly, you know, that kind of thing. But certainly if Donald Trump was concerned about any of that, don't they have the right as defense to call the witnesses? They could have called the same witness. They could have done what they wanted. It is certainly an air of defeat coming from the former.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't seem like a guy expecting a glorious victory and vindication coming soon. Oh, let me tell you how rigged it was against me, and they're so mean to me. They never brought all the witnesses that would have exonerated me.
They didn't bring you witnesses, which, of course, he could bring witnesses. They didn't do advice of counsel defense, but his attorney specifically told the judge they were not going to engage and use the advice of counsel defense. I mean, not that any of these facts matter to the big baby crying outside in front of his mega cult. It is absolutely irrelevant to what is going on in the reality, in the courtroom, in life. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is Trump's interpretation of the moment at the time. And that can change from hour to hour, day to day, man, certainly. But to those that follow him, to those that support him, it is absolutely irrelevant. That's why it's so hard. It's so hard to take any of them seriously when this is the guy you follow.
So the jury's still out. They're done for the day. They're not sequestered.
Literally, jury's still out, man.
And Trump's got to be back in the courtroom tomorrow, right? Or at least at the courthouse awaiting the deliberations of the jurors.
Could happen at any time.
And the fact that he's not on the campaign trail, that's got to be stinging a little. You know, it's interesting.
He had time to go on the campaign trail before and didn't, so... You know, whatever. He'll say, well, that's why I lost because, the campaign was blocked because of the
lawfare.
He'll
never say he lost.
Oh, that's right. That's why.
It was stolen. Rigged. It was rigged.
I'm sorry. You're right. Those words never came. They still have not come out of his mouth. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Well, I listened to Consumed a Little, Righty Whitey Talk Radio, before I came to join you on the greatest radio show ever. Your girl, Vicky. Vicky was actually reading, the questions the jurors were asking. It was the first time I had heard there were questions from the jurors. And we'll talk about that more tomorrow. We'll see if the jury has moved forward with the verdict. But U.S. Senator Ron Johnson was there, and she pivoted almost immediately to her interview with Rojo. And Ron was bemoaning the fact the jury was still out. Oh, they haven't acquitted the man. It's a travesty. They should have just gone back there and voted to acquit him. And I'm thinking, that didn't sound like a winner either.
No,
man. That does not sound like a confident group.
It almost sounds like maybe, just maybe, Donald Trump did what the prosecutors are accusing him of doing. And maybe the jurors might believe that.
How confident are you? Verdict this week, Dom.
I'm still saying Friday, baby. No, they don't want to. They want to keep going over the weekend, man. People got things to do. It's summertime.
It absolutely is summertime. I have confirmed. No, not yet. June 21st, the official start of summer. I usually kick it off on my birthday.
June, our birthday month, man. It's coming real soon.
Our birthday month. My son graduates on the 1st. I'm looking forward to that. Kick him out of the nest, and then party, party, party all the time.
News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by comedian and former Dinner in a Movie host, Paul Gilmartin. We'll talk about the new Dinner in a Movie reboot, and I'll be joined in studio by filmmaker Craig Anthony Nitt.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on the WRCE website at WRCE.fm, your news just for the Richland Center area. I'm Joanne Krulatz with WRCE News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on News from the Center. 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE and on the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.